Hi, I'm Dr. Sophia, email marketing strategist and educator, and I am committed to making email marketing simple and profitable for you. Through my online email marketing school, Sophia Learning Hall, you can find the link in the show notes. Fun fact, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist resident in training. Yes, I'm an actual practicing medical doctor. Email marketing experiments was born out of the desire to share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Simply put, what we've tried, not just me, but me and every guest I bring on the show, what we've tried that has worked or didn't work. So instead of just thinking it and testing it, we're committed to also sharing the BTS with you on this podcast. Come join us behind the scenes. And one more thing, as you listen, if you're a freelancer, service provider, or business owner, go ahead and check the show notes for the gift I kept for you. You'll find it under the title Gift. Now let's go behind the scenes. Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiments. Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiments. Today, I have another interesting and amazing guest, as always. And let me tell you a fun fact. She reads about 6 to 7 books in a month. Now, I used to think I was, you know, back in the day, I used to think I was big on reading. But when I saw this, I had to, you know, give some respect because I mean 6 to 7 books in a month. I have here with me a podcast coach. She uses email marketing to sell her offers as a podcast coach and service provider. She loves podcasts and she listens to a lot of them. If you are around her for any amount of time, she will probably tell you about something she learned from a podcast. She's also a mom of 3 littles, age 4 and under, and she has found that listening to podcasts has helped her keep her sanity while building block towers for the 100th time or when I haven't spoken to another adult all day. I have no other person than Andy Smiley, and you may probably know her as your friendly podcast guide from Threads. If you've ever seen all her amazing tips of Pinterest, email marketing, and podcasting, we have her here with us on the show. Welcome, welcome, Andy. So good to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you as well. Now, before we go into all the emails and, you know, the strategy and all of that, like, how do you finish 6 to 7 books in a month? I feel like our listeners would love to know how you're able to pull through that, considering you also have like 3 under 4 and you're running your business and you're so active on socials. And then, I mean, you have to let us in on that scene.
Okay, so truly, I just always have a book with me. That's a big part of it, is like literally I have a book with me right now. I always have one ready. And I also like to do audiobooks. So I'll be listening to an audiobook and I can listen like when I'm cleaning or whatever. But then I also have a physical book that I'm reading in the same time period, you know? So I'm usually like consuming 2 different books within the same day. So like right now I'm listening to the book by Sharon McMahon. She talks about like really cool people in America who don't make it to the history books, but they did amazing things. So I'm listening to that, but then I'm reading, it's called The Tapestry of Fate. It's a fantasy book. I am a big fantasy nerd. I love all fantasy books. And that one is by Shannon Chakraborty. So I just kind of like always have something going as far as that is. And my kids all just know, like, don't bug mom. She's reading, or at least like that's the goal. And it works like 50% of the time. They don't bug me as much when I'm reading. They're like, mom's busy. I'll just like keep doing what I'm doing.
That's so nice. That's so nice. So back when I was a bit younger, I used to read a lot of novels, but I haven't read novels in a really long time. And so I've been reading more of business books and fake books. So sometimes I'll probably be reading like 2 at the same period. But the problem is I'm not finishing it. Like sometimes it just drags on and on and on, which is why I'm so amazed. Whether it's fantasy or otherwise, I mean, we have at least 200 to 300 pages.
Yeah, and fantasy books are long. Like one of the books I just finished, if you've heard of Dungeon Crawler Carl, I am a giant fan of Dungeon Crawler Carl. The last one I just read, I think, had 800 pages in it. So they're big books, but they're compelling. Like And that book is like this big. And I was like carrying that thing around everywhere I went because I wanted to, like, I needed to know what happened. So yeah, I'm a giant nerd when it comes to reading and fantasy books. And truly, the other thing is I'm not on Instagram and I don't have threads on my phone. I do everything on my computer. So I don't. So instead of like going to my phone for like social media, when I'm bored, I just go to my book. So I feel like that really helps too.
Oh, we're definitely taking note of all these tips, from the audiobooks to the socials of our phone. I think that that definitely helps as well. So I'd like our audience to get to meet you, get to know you a bit better. So tell us a bit about, you know, your story and how you came into podcasting and, you know, being our podcasting guide.
Yes. Okay. So before I had kids, I was a radio producer for like the major radio station in Utah. That's where I live, is Utah. And I graduated from BYU, my university, in broadcast journalism. I was an intern at this radio station and then they had an opening. So I like got hired on. It was like perfect timing, amazing. And I got to do that for 2 years and it was crazy. It's pretty intense doing live radio. It's just a lot. A lot of things are going on and you just kind of get used to it. But after 2 years, my partner, he graduated and he is now a therapist. So he had to go to get a master's in marriage and family therapy. So we ended up moving 2 states over to Kansas for him to do his master's. And so I had to say goodbye to my radio team. And after that, I was like, you know what? I have always thought about podcasting and I know that I'm going to have a podcast. I just don't know what it's going to be about, which I know sounds so silly. Like most people are like, this is the podcast I'm going to do. And someday I'll do it. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to have a podcast someday. So in Kansas, that's when we started having our kids. We had 2 in Kansas and then we ended up moving back to Utah, which was not the plan, but here we are. My husband's dream job was in Utah. So we came back and after my third was born, probably like, I think it was 2 weeks after my third baby was born, I was like, I am ready for a podcast. Still don't know what it's going to be about, but I'm doing it. I need something for me. I was feeling a little lost in motherhood. And so I started my podcast, but like slowly. She was born, my third was born in August, end of August. I started just like slowly working on my podcast, middle of September. And then I actually launched my podcast the following February. So it's not like it was like overnight, but that was like a big deal for me to just have something that I could work on for just me. And then here we are. Like I've just been podcasting for a while. I pivoted a couple of years ago to having my podcast specifically for helping women grow their own shows because that was just what I was called. That's what I felt like I needed to talk about. So here we are. That's what I talk about for now, at least. I probably, let's be real, I'll probably pivot again at some point. But for right now, it's a really good fit and I really love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And I think one thing I really love about your website is the fact that not just your stuff, but you also have even recommendations for other podcasts and other things that people can go check out and, you know, listen to. I mean, I know you said you listen to a lot of podcasts. But when I saw it, I'm like, okay. Right. I found it interesting. All right. So now to my first question, if you could give email marketing a job description, like a JD, a role in your business, what would it be and why?
That's a really good question. I think it would be, I feel like, so email marketing is what actually sells most of my offers. So would that be like chief financial officer? I don't know. The thing that actually makes the money, like the marketing tool that actually like closes the deals. That is what email marketing is for my podcast.
Okay. So maybe more like a chief revenue officer.
There you go. Yes. Thank you. I just needed that assist.
All right. I find that really interesting because one of the questions you see people ask on social media, I mean, people have tried email, different people, different experiences. And I remember one of these, I was scrolling through Twitter, and it was such a heartfelt cry. It was like, do people really make money from emails? And are people earning from emails? And there were so many comments and so many points of views. But you know, just hearing this, I feel like it's encouraging to somebody to keep going and, you know, get at it because it actually does work.
It really does. It really, like, and I think for me at least, email has become a way for me to connect with my audience that I actually get to control. Like, I know that it's landing in their inbox instead of like making a post and just hoping the right people see it. You know, I feel like with Threads or Instagram, which I currently do not use Instagram because Instagram does not love me. And so I was like, this is not a relationship for me. So I took a step back. But with those types of social media, I feel like it's nice for people to like meet you almost in quotation marks. But email marketing, I feel like, is where they get to know me. And then they're like, oh my gosh, this offer is perfect for me. I need to buy this from Andy. So that's really just been the perfect closer. Again, in quotation marks, for me with offers.
All right. And you have a really interesting story. But before we dive right into, so we have this tradition on the podcast, we call it Open Rates Confession, where you tell us your biggest, worst email marketing mistake, something that made you cringe, or maybe want to, you know, run and hide under something. So what would that be for you?
Okay. So truly, I used to be terrified of sending more than one email a week because I was like, these people are going to be so sick of me if I send more than one email a week. And finally, one day I kind of crunched the numbers and I was like, wait a second. People probably spend roughly 2 minutes reading an email from me. So like, if I bump that up to 4 minutes a week, then what, like, is that a really big deal? So it's cringy to me to think that, like, there was one point where I was so nervous to send more than one email a week. Literally, that made me want to crawl under a rock to be like, I can't send 2 emails a week. And now I'm like, I get so many emails from people. People will send me daily emails and I read them. I like them. Like, what was my deal? Like, why did I think that this was such a big deal when in fact it was like, so it was holding me back in so many ways. The idea that like someone couldn't spend more than 2 minutes with me in their inbox a week.
Oh, I love the mindset shift. What I find even more interesting is the fact that just, I think was it yesterday or something, I was scrolling on Threads and I stumbled on this post where someone was talking about a coach that sends an email every hour when she's launching. And then the conversation under it was what had me, because people were like, yes, it's too much, but I totally love it. Yes, it's a lot, but I'll still read all the emails. So, but and then you see the few people that are, I'm going to unsubscribe by like the third email. But the number of it's a lot, I'll totally love it, or it's a lot, and she sends a lot of emails, but I'm still on her list. I'm like, oh, exactly. If her launch timeline is like 3 days, an hour, I don't know if she's sending every 24 hours, honestly, because I'm not her email list, but let's just say she's sending 8 hours out of 24. Eight. That's like 24 emails in 3 days. And people are loving it.
I mean, like in the grand scheme of things, that's not that many emails. Like it could be more, right? Like I feel like having the audacity and like the confidence to be like, yeah, I'm going to send you an email every hour. I feel like I strive for that confidence. I'm still working up to it.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. So now let's dive right into this thing that you share with me. Because I mean, I found it really interesting because like I said, I feel like a lot of people struggle with the money conversation when it comes to emails, the generating revenue, making sales, wondering if they are being too salesy, wondering if emails can actually like sell their offers and all of those things. But I mean, you hacked this thing because I mean, just recently, okay, the past winter, so maybe not so recent, but you had a goal to fill all 5 spots of a new offer. And I feel like the first thing that stood out to me was that this thing was new. So you won't even say something like you've tried and tested before and you're sure your audience loves it. But it was a new offer you were trying out. You sent out 2 emails a week for 2.5 months and you filled all 5 spots. And more than half of these, so more than 50% of all of those spots were filled directly from email marketing. I want us to go like right into this, right? So what inspired you to, you know, set this goal, really?
Okay, so truly, here's some background on what the offer was, just so you, like, for context. So earlier that year, I made a DIY version of this. So what I do is I help podcasters start and grow their Pinterest. So earlier that year, I'd made like a DIY version of like, here is a workbook with videos, me teaching you, walking you through the steps of how to create a Pinterest profile as a podcaster, right? So I made that and people really liked it, but I had so many people that kept saying, hey, love it, want to be on Pinterest, but I do not have time. Like I genuinely don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the capacity to start my own Pinterest. Like that is like, I want to, I know it would be good for me and my podcast, but I don't have the capacity. So I kind of sat on that, ruminated on it. And I was like, you know what? What if I did a done for you version of my other offer, but I will actually do it for you. Right. So I knew that there were people out there that wanted this offer, but I had never actually done it before. And I was moving at that point. I think I was still on Instagram, but I was definitely Instagram optional by that point. I was not there every day and I like posted, but not regularly. And so I was like, okay, Instagram is not where I'm going to be selling this offer, at least not consistently. Like I think I probably put it on stories every once in a while, but I was like, okay, so I have Pinterest that I am constantly putting stuff on. I have threads that I talk about this on, but email, I was like, email is something that I can control. And I know that it's actually making it to the inbox of my potential client. And so I was like, you know what, let's just go for it. Let's try it. And that was when I started consistently doing 2 emails a week, truly is when I started with that offer. And my goal of having 5 was, I was like, one could be like a fluke. And 2, I feel like could be still a fluke. I feel like, again, we're working on my confidence. And then it was like, you know, if I can get 5 people to say yes to this offer and I can like work through the whole process with them, then I will know if I like to do this and if this is something that people actually need and like this is a good fit for podcasters. And so when I, and truly, I had no idea what a timeline was going to be of how long it would take me to fill those 5 spots with a new offer. So when it was 2.5 months, I was pretty proud of myself. I'm not going to lie, especially because it was like over Christmas. I think I started in November, maybe middle of November. And I like sold through Thanksgiving and through Christmas and then was full by January. And it was one of those things that was like, huh. And probably one of the beauties of this offer and like the way that I did it was that I didn't do sales calls for this offer. It was like, here's the button, push the button and buy the offer. Like it wasn't, you know, hop on a sales call and we can see if it's a good fit. It was like, nah, I don't have time or energy to do sales calls because it's Christmas. Like I don't, but truly I did have someone who ended up buying ask for a sales call. And I was like, I'm so sorry, but I am so busy, but you can send me your questions in an email and I can answer them in an email. So I guess I did like some version of a sales call, but that was such a beautiful thing that I learned from email is people are getting enough information from me about the offer that they don't need a sales call. Between you and me, I don't love sales calls. Like I don't like being on them. I feel like they're just not very fun for me. And so it's like, I would rather give them all the information and help them understand what they're getting and how they're going to get it and how they're going to feel afterwards via an email rather than like clogging up my schedule with a bunch of calls. So that was probably one of the benefits I wasn't expecting, but loved about that like email marketing strategy that I used for that offer.
I'm totally loving it. And, you know, I just want to create context for our audience because you've talked about the fact that that was when you truly switched to 2 emails, right? So I'm just curious, like, what were your emails like before you switched to 2 emails? And then when you decided to switch to 2 emails, considering you were pushing like a promotion, did you have any concerns that maybe people may unsubscribe or there might be a different reaction?
Totally. Okay. So I switched to 2 emails because, so I also have a podcast, obviously. So I take seasonal breaks. So when I am in season and I'm putting out regular episodes, weekly episodes, I wanted to have at least 1 email a week talking about that episode, but I also wanted to be talking about my offers so that I could make money. And so what I ended up doing was I had 1 email that was about the episode of the week and then 1 email that was about the offer. So that I could kind of be, because trying to squash those into 1 email was ridiculous. Like it was not working for me at all. So when I finally like separated those out, it felt so much clearer for me. And so I assumed that also felt clearer for my audience, which was what I found. I'm sure that I had some people unsubscribe when they were getting more emails from me. But truly, I feel like if they didn't like that, if like that wasn't a good fit for them, then it was like that I'm not a good fit for them right now. And that's okay. Like, I feel like I would rather have them unsubscribe and go find someone that's a better fit for them than like have them stay, like keep getting my emails, even though they hate them. Like that feels a little silly. So there definitely was some worry, but there was enough of like, it was so stressful trying to fit both talking about my episodes and talking about my offer in one email. The stress won out. And I was like, you know what? I am worried that people are going to unsubscribe in droves, but also I just need, something needs to change because this is not working. So luckily it worked out that they didn't unsubscribe in droves, but I definitely had some unsubscribes, I'm sure, because like truly my list is not crazy big. I think I have between 350 and 400 subscribers. So nothing crazy, but truly I make, like, I am happy with how much money I'm making off of just a list that is that small. Because my offers, when I first started offering my Pinterest VIP setups, which is the Done For You offer, the like beta version, I think I was selling it for $297. And now, truly, I'm about to raise my prices again. But right now it's $497. And so I don't have to sell 50 to be making the kind of money that I want to be making with this business. And so having a smaller email list isn't really a detriment to me because I'm still making the money that I want to be making. So I feel like that was way more answer than you expected, but here we are.
And you created a lot of context because if there's one thing we love to do is create context for people. And I feel like this answer was the perfect answer because now somebody's going to stop thinking about how small their email list is and how they can start creating aligned offers instead. Now, I'm just going to just go deeper in this conversation because when it comes to selling, right, so there are two things. First part of what I want to ask is, you know how when people keep seeing the same offer over and over and over again, sometimes it appears like they get fatigued. It's like the thing that happens with perfume where you spray the perfume, you can perceive it after a while. The perfume is on you, but you're not perceiving it, right? So bringing that into context for the email list. And then the second thing is getting them to take action, even though they knew that, I mean, along the line, they're going to know that he's promoting this particular thing. So I'm just curious to how you were tailoring the emails and the call to actions to keep them engaged and interested enough to take action, even though you were doing this for 2.5 months.
Yeah, totally. And truly, that was something that I had to really kind of wrestle with and make sure that it was not boring. Because you're right. Like, I was just talking about the same offer for 2.5 months straight, which looking back, I'm like, man, that was a long time. But one thing that I try to do even now with my emails, because I still do 2 emails a week, even when I'm not in season anymore, I'll just do 2 emails, both about an offer. I make sure that I'm kind of giving them a window into my like normal life. So I always start with a story of some sort that has to do with something in my life that I always find a way to relate back to Pinterest, because again, I'm a nerd also for Pinterest. So I usually, what I'll do is I'll have one offer that I'm promoting at the time. So like sometimes I'm offering my DIY offer, and then sometimes I'll be offering my like VIP, Pinterest VIP. And each of those has their ideal client is slightly different. Like with the DIY offer, it's like someone that wants to do it themselves, wants total control, and also has more time than they have money right now, right? So I feel like my offer, like I'll tell a story, talk about Pinterest, but I talk about Pinterest in the way that I'm helping them see that Pinterest is a good idea for them. Like while with my Pinterest VIP offer, I feel like my client is like the ideal client is a little bit different. It's like she already knows that Pinterest is awesome. She just doesn't have the time or energy to make it happen. So like I kind of tailored the emails to be talking to that specific person. And then, yeah, I always start with a story. Like, again, this just shows how nerdy I am. But one of my emails that's going out this week, I'm pretty sure, just talks about how I just finished the Lord of the Rings series. And I talked about how Pinterest is like Samwise Gamgee. If you have read or seen the movies, he's the one that helps Frodo get to Mount Doom. So Pinterest like helps you get to your goals, right? And then I like tied it back to Pinterest because here we are. So I feel like bringing myself into the emails and those stories really helps make it so that it's not just an email that's selling you an offer. It's also kind of bringing you into me. You get to know me a little bit while also hearing about this Pinterest offer.
I have like two follow-up questions, but you mentioned Pinterest over and over again. And I know that there was a time I took interest in Pinterest because, I mean, the stories that people tell about Pinterest are always amazing and powerful and is like driving a lot of traffic. And, you know, I tried it once. I didn't really get it. And then I disappeared. And then I see people talk about it and I'm like, I'll try it again. And then you have this checklist, right, that says, is Pinterest right for your podcast? So tell us, how does this exactly work? What is it about?
Okay, I love that question because Pinterest is great for a lot of podcasters, but not for everyone. And I don't want you wasting your time on Pinterest if it's not a good fit. So this checklist takes like 2 minutes. It's maybe even less. I say 2 minutes because maybe someone's like really thinking through each individual checklist item, but it just helps you to know if your podcast is going to do well on Pinterest or not. So like some of the things on there are like, is your Pinterest content evergreen? Cause like there are news podcasts out there or pop culture events podcasts out there that probably wouldn't do very well on Pinterest because you want your content to be evergreen because pins last for 6 months, even a year. And so you've got to make sure that. So it's like things like that to make sure that you're not wasting your time trying to make Pinterest work for your podcast when Pinterest isn't ever going to work for your podcast because it just isn't the right fit.
Okay. I totally find it interesting because I have a podcast and I've seen people share a lot of amazing stories about Pinterest. But I think I'll go ahead and take this quiz. And I think for anyone who is listening to this conversation, I'm also going to plug the link to this particular checklist in the show notes so that you can go ahead and take these 2 minutes. Would I call it a test now?
I mean, it's a checklist, it's a quiz, it's whatever you want. But if nothing else, it is 2 minutes of your time. So like then you can know if Pinterest should actually be on your to-do list or if you can just like cross it off and like never think about it again.
All right. So the link is definitely going to be in the show notes. If you followed Andy on Threads, you would see her share a lot of amazing things about Pinterest, email list growth, which is something I'm coming to. Mm-hmm. And of course, your podcast growth as well, which is why I'm really, really interested in taking this test so that I know what next to put in my plans. Now, my follow-up question for you, when you talked about sharing stories, so I liked how you gave us examples, but then I'm thinking, when you share these stories, do you share stories that you think that, oh, the people that are on my list can resonate with these stories? Or I feel like people on my list also are watching this particular series, even if not everybody, but maybe like a good number of them. Or you just share your stories the way they are, whether or not you think it may resonate with the people who are on your list.
Truly, I've come to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to share me and then like go from there. Because I used to try and be like, okay, what will resonate with my audience the best? And then I would like never write anything. I would never write, like I would just get overwhelmed and then like kind of give up on and just try and like last minute throw something together. So now I just kind of, it's more so just me being me. And then if you resonate with it, awesome. If you don't, then that's cool. But like I don't have time or energy to waste trying to figure out what's going to resonate with my people. And I'm just being me and like letting it go. Like truly, like another story that's less nerdy is two months ago, I couldn't get out of bed because I was so dizzy. I could not figure out why. And my husband was like, I think you're dehydrated. And I was like, no, this is terrible. Like I literally can't get out of bed. I'm so dizzy. And he was like, I think you're just dehydrated. And I finally was like, fine, I'll try. And I drank like so much water. And then I was totally fine. Like it really was. I was just dehydrated. Like that was the story. And then at the end, it was like, hey, you've probably been like struggling with growing your podcast. And maybe the simple answer is Pinterest. Just like for me, it was drinking water. Like that's all you needed. And then you like, so just things like that, like silly stories like that to people get to know me. Cause truly I will say at least, so my audience is podcasters, specifically women podcasters. I have learned that podcasters are, and podcast listeners are nosy. They like to know what's going on in your life, even if it has nothing to do with what's like your podcast is about. So that has been something that's really helped me is just being, I'm just being me. So you can get like a little like peek into behind the scenes of Andy and like what's going on in my life while also hearing about the offer. Truly. Okay. This is one thing I thought about with your earlier question. Like, are we worried about like listeners being bored when I keep talking about the same offer? And yes, in the back of my mind, yes, I'm always a little bit worried about that, but I have to like push through it because if I don't, then I'm never sending another email, which we don't want to do. But as like a consumer or like a client, I usually read at least 5 emails about an offer before I even consider buying that offer. And so when I think about it that way, I'm like, oh, my clients and future clients are like me. They aren't going to buy it the first time they read an email about it. They're going to think about it and then they're going to like forget about it. And then they're going to read another email next week and they're going to think about it again. And they're going to talk to their husband about it a little bit. And then they're going to forget about it again. And then they're going to read another email. Like, I feel like it's not a one and done thing. And so when I think about it like that, it's like, oh, like I'm just reminding them that it's here. And then when it's a good fit for them, they will buy it. When I have that mindset, it makes it so much easier to keep writing emails about the same offer.
I really, really am finding this conversation interesting, especially because of your approach to it. It's like so simple, so stress-free. It's like, I'm just going to do this and this is my goal and I'm going to keep it simple so they get to know me. And when you said people are nosy, I was laughing because someone literally has a lead magnet. I think that's Jess Creatives from the Ordinary Business Podcast. And it's called Nosy Learning Files, right?
Yes.
And the reason people, or I mean, for me personally, I contributed to it, but part of why I also signed up is, so this is like from a business angle, right? But I really wanted to know those little hacks and tricks that other business owners were doing that was making life.
Seriously.
So I feel like everybody is nosy. Human beings are just curious and they just love to know things, whether the information is useful or not. Not useful.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
It's useful information, but sometimes it's like, oh, so that's what you're up to. And really, that's how people get to know people. And then also they feel like, oh, they know you, they can trust you, they can relate with you. So I really love your approach to, you know, just telling stories in your email. Now, I'm curious, right? I'm nosy. I think I should start saying I'm nosy. So now you sent these emails over about 2.5 months. So that will be about 10 weeks, right? So 10 weeks, 2 emails a week. That puts us roughly about 20 emails. So within all these emails, did you notice that there was a particular type of email format structure that you noticed performed more than others in terms of maybe how you were placing a call to action, the kind of content you were putting in the email, or you just, maybe it's the way you do the subject line or something, but did you notice that there was any email type, format or structure that particularly worked well?
As far as like which ones people actually bought from, there wasn't really any rhyme or reason because most of them, I noticed they opened several before they bought, like I talked about earlier. But I will say like the emails that got the most opens, like I had one email that was like, I am terrible at cleaning my house. Like it was some version of that was the subject line because I am. Scott, my partner, he is the one that likes to clean. He is the one that cooks most of the food in our house because I don't like doing either of those things and he loves them. So like, so part of the email was like, hey, I am not good at cleaning. I'm not good at cooking. I like make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch almost every day for my children. But what I am good at is Pinterest. I'm really good at setting up your Pinterest, blah, blah, blah. And then I like went into the sales pitch of that email. But opening with some vulnerability of like, hey, like, this is something I am terrible at. And then people are like, why is she saying this? Like, I have to read this email. Like, what out of the blue thing? Like, what is she trying to get at here? I feel like those really help. Just like pique that curiosity and that like nosiness, right? Those definitely get the most clicks in my experience. And then I will say, I got some advice from Allie Grummert. She talks about email marketing as well. And she was like, how about you just try sending a video, like embed a video in your email? And I don't think, if memory serves, I don't think anyone bought from that email, but I have had several people be like, I saw that video. And then I was more curious. And it was just in the video, it was like, hey, I have 3 more spots available. Now's a really good time to hop onto Pinterest before the new year, something like that. And if nothing else, it was just like a change up to what people were used to seeing. And then I think the subject line was like, I made a video for you. So then everyone's like, well, I have to see it. So that video definitely got a lot more clicks than most of my emails, which was fun. And just like, that's something to think about. And like, people will watch a video, especially if, I think I said that this is a 2-minute video. Like, you're not going to be sitting here for 5 minutes or even 15 minutes, you know, to watch this. It's just a quick video to like, let you know what's going on in my life. So.
You really had a lot of fun planning this campaign, executing it.
Yeah.
I'm trying out a lot of interesting things. I'm definitely going to take that idea. I think the video that has been sent to me that stands out, I think it was Iman Ismail. One time she was launching her course, and it was actually a personalized video. I just played video because I'm like, oh, you added a video to the email. Then I heard my name in the video and I'm like, did you do this video for like everybody? I literally had to reply to ask, right? Because it's like, you did this video for every single person, or let me know how deep we are doing this right here. But it was really cool. It was really cool. And if not for anything, it's something that I haven't forgotten. And this is maybe 2 years or thereabouts back. But I will always just remember it as, oh, she went that extra mile and, you know, did that kind of video.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Definitely. So with all these emails and being consistent, were you using like a calendar to help you stay consistent, or were you writing on the go, or how did you ensure that you were meeting up with your 2 emails a week, every week for the 2.5 months that you promoted for?
Yeah. Okay. Love that. So for me, still to this day, back then, but now also, I do emails on Tuesdays and Fridays. I honestly don't remember why I chose those days, but here we are. Those are the days. So I truly, Monday, we're recording on a Monday. Monday is my big work day. That's the day when Scott has the kids and I work all day. Like, I leave the house at 7:45 and I get back at like 4:30. And so usually, when everything goes according to plan, which is, you know, not every time, but 75% of the time, I write both of my emails on Mondays so that they are like scheduled, they're ready, and I don't have to think about them for the rest of the week, just because life is crazy. And I don't always get, especially in the summer, I don't always get the designated work time on any other day. So for me, I just write them all on Mondays. I guess write both of them on Mondays, and then I schedule them out for Tuesday and Friday of that week. And that's been a good fit. But sometimes, like when I am in the launch season, I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I cover these things that, like, the cool things about this offer, or the things that I keep hearing people are like worried about with this offer or whatever. I can schedule out a little bit further in advance. But for the most part, I just stick with email, like writing them that week, truly, because then it also feels a little bit more personal, because I'm not trying to think of a story that will still relate to someone in 3 weeks from now, or like that still makes sense for that far out. It just feels a little bit more personal, I guess, for me personally, when I do it like that.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Now, I want to switch up the conversation a bit, right? We've looked at the money aspect of it, but you have this, you know, unique growth strategy, which a lot of people dream of, right, for your podcast. And I'm like, so this question is 2 parts, right? So you have this unique strategy, which is you're using Pinterest, and you know you're using it for your podcast. And then what I want to know is how it impacts your lead growth. More so because I saw this on your page, right? You said, I just checked and my Pinterest stats are currently lower than they were last month, but people are still finding my content, listening to my podcast and hopping on my email list. So I'd like to know, how does this work really?
Okay, I love that. So truly, with my Pinterest, usually, here's some context about Pinterest and then I'll get into that. So with Pinterest, I usually have several pins a week that are about either that episode, when I'm not on a seasonal break, it's about whatever episode came out that week. And then usually I'll have a couple of pins that are specifically about whatever freebie that, like, whatever email magnet I have at the moment, so that people can hop on my email list. And truly, it's been interesting. Pinterest, bless their hearts, they did a bunch of like tweaks in May and it kind of messed with everybody's numbers. More like, it was one of those times where it was just like, what is going on? And then I finally like talked to my other Pinterest friends and they were like, yeah, no, it's everybody. It's me. I was like, okay, it's not just me. I'm not like, my numbers are just tanking and I have no idea what's going on. I guess tanking feels dramatic. It felt dramatic at the time. Looking back, it's like, okay, they were lower than normal. We're doing fine. But it was just one of those things. But then I looked at my download numbers and they were still growing. Well, they were staying about where I needed them to be. They weren't like skyrocketing by any means, but it's not like they were tanking along with my Pinterest numbers. And people were still hopping on my list. And so it was like, okay, no, Pinterest isn't giving me the giant numbers that they were giving me a couple of months ago, but people are still finding me on Pinterest. And that is one of those things, like when I compare how Pinterest helps me compared to like Instagram or TikTok, it's fascinating because Instagram, most people will, they're there to be entertained, right? They're there to like zone out and just like scroll. While with Pinterest, most of the time you're going to Pinterest to find the answer to a question or research something more, something like that. So while a post on Instagram might get like 1,000 views, which I'm going to be real, I don't know if one of my posts probably got 1,000, but most of the time I was in like 200 view jail, right? So even like, let's say 200 views on Instagram, well, let's say a pin got 200 views, like let's say like apples to apples, right? Same amount of views. The views that they get on Pinterest, I value so much more because the people that viewed it are much more likely to click it, go over to my blog post and listen to my podcast. Because they're there to learn, they're there to research, they're there to find like an answer to something instead of just being entertained. So like, even if my numbers aren't as good as I would love them to be on Pinterest, I still know that every view, every click, every save is worth so much more on Pinterest than it is on Instagram or TikTok. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Yes, I think it does. So let's see. So people go to Pinterest. From your pins, they get to like your blog, and from your blog is like they get to like the podcast, and from the podcast to the newsletter. Is that what the flow is like?
Sometimes. So there are kind of like two ways that people get on my email list from Pinterest. The first way that's more common is they will find a pin, they'll click it, they'll go to my blog post, which I have like episode player embedded in each blog post. So they'll click it and just listen to it right there. It's also because my episodes are short. They're like 10, 15 minutes maybe. So a lot of people will just listen in the web browser. And then in each episode, I talk about my freebie in some form or fashion. And so then people will, you know, find it in the show notes and grab it that way and then hop on my email list that way. Or the other way is I have pins that are specifically about that freebie that they will click and go straight to the page where they can like put their information in and grab that freebie. So those are the two main ways, but mostly people will get my freebie from listening to an episode rather than straight from a pin. I feel like it's probably like 60-40. 60, they get it from the episode, and then 40, they get it from Pinterest, probably.
I like that you have the data to an extent, so we can definitely trace where these people are coming from and how they are coming in. Now, I want us to move into like the rapid fire session before we wrap up this conversation. First question first. So what would your advice for podcasters who want to grow their lists? What would it be?
Oh my goodness. Sorry, this is not rapid fire. I would say if you have any interest in Pinterest, Pinterest is a great way. Also Threads. I love Threads. I love, love, love Threads. I feel like people are so nice on Threads. So this is what I would say. If you aren't ready for Pinterest, but you still want to grow your list, Threads is a great way to do it. Do a post about not talking about your freebie, but talking about what your freebie is about. And then when people are like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more. Then you're like, hey, I have a freebie all about this. Here's the link. That's how I would do it.
Oh, that's pretty smart. All right. So next up, you're a podcasting coach and you're doing email marketing, you're doing Pinterest and all of this. When it comes to the emails, what would you say is your biggest metric, the one metric that you must always check?
I don't think this is the best one to be checking, if I'm being completely honest, but probably opens. Like, I feel like for every, I'm just like, oh, hey, look, let's see how many people actually open this. And I'm sitting at like 40%. So I feel like that's pretty good. And then clicks. I feel like clicks always make me a little sad because I usually have like 3 per email. I'm like, I just need to figure out how to make that higher. Still working on that one.
So I know we're going to do rapid fire, but what you just said, so you have like, let's say, 3 people clicking the emails, but you said something earlier. I said email is making you the money that you want to be making.
It's true. It's true.
Maybe we should change the metric to maybe revenue per subscriber.
Oh, that's a good one.
Percentage of revenue from email. So it's like, oh, out of all my business revenue, X percent is from email. And then it now offsets the other because it's like, again, so the way I see it is you are selling a particular offer in a particular time and you're looking for like 5 people, 3 people are clicking it. You're filling the spots that you need to fill. After things are working pretty fine.
That's true. That's true. You're right. I need a mindset shift there is what we're seeing, is what we're noticing.
Yeah, because we all love to get, you know, really high opens, really high clicks. But at the end of the day, beyond the clicks, like, are you still achieving the final goal? So if you're achieving the final goal, I'll say it's working fine.
It's true. Yeah. All right. The goals make money and it's doing it. So here we are.
Definitely, definitely. All right. So now my next question is more from the podcasting point of view. So you mentioned that you put a call to action on your podcast about your email list in every episode. Now, I'm curious, do you also like maybe sell your offers in the same episode? So do you like sell an offer, then still put? So basically, I'm looking at it like having different call to actions in the podcast episode, or you're having just that sign up for my email list as the only call to action in the podcast episode.
For right now, I've noticed that if I have more than one call to action, then like people do nothing. It's kind of what I've noticed. So I usually just do my email, like my email freebie. That's what I'll do. I'll talk about that and then have them sign up for that. And then I just sell in my email. So I'm like, okay, if you will get on my email list, then I will tell you about all of my offers. But trying to sell my offers and get people on my email list, people got overwhelmed. Also, my episodes are short. And so I feel like it's hard to have, it feels like a lot of selling if I try and do more than one thing. Again, my episodes are 15 minutes. So like there's not that much time in there.
All right, got it. So for everybody who has a podcast and wants to use it to grow their email list, take note of that one thing per time. Okay, long or short email?
Oh, short. I am a short email girl. Short all the way. No questions.
All right. So emails with images, GIFs, or just plain text emails?
Just plain text. I want, if at all possible, I want to show up in your normal inbox, not in your promotions tab. So I like to just do straight text.
All right. And so to wrap this up, what would you say is your favorite email marketing tool so far?
I use Flowdesk. I really like them, But truly, my favorite email marketing is probably the Google Doc that just has all of my emails written in it. Which is so lame, I know. But like, seriously, that's how I like keep track of all of my emails. I just write them in the Google Doc and then copy and paste them over to Flowdesk. So there's that. Just talk about simple. Like, we're doing nothing crazy over here.
Well, I mean, that's so good, because whenever you're looking for like emails to repurpose, you don't have to go to like your email software and, you know, you just pull up your Google Docs and it's like, maybe I can repurpose this one today, or maybe I can break this into like a thread.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Seriously though. I'll be like, huh, that one worked really well. Let me go find it in Google Docs. There it is. I'm going to update it and send it again, because my brain is mush today. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. This has been such an interesting conversation. My final question will be this. What would you say to the person who is struggling to make email work for them in terms of hitting their revenue goals?
The lame part first, I would say don't give up, because I feel like it's one of those things that I definitely didn't. Like, someone didn't sign up for my offer after my first email. I think I probably sent a month's worth of emails twice a week before I made my first sale via email. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. But I think not only are you reminding people of your offer in their email inboxes, but I think you're also just getting better at writing emails the more you write. And like, as you figure out like what works for you and what works for your people. So just keep trying, which sounds so lame when I say it like that, but here we are.
If you look at it, the last thing you said is where I think the secret sauce is at, because you're like, just keep trying so you find out what works for your people. If you don't keep trying, you don't have the data to say, oh, they love. I mean, a lot of things you said today were based on experience, based on the data. Oh, I did this and this happened. Oh, I noticed that. I mean, you said, oh, first of all, you noticed that you read like 5 emails before you buy a thing. But you also noticed that a lot of the people that bought had read a number of emails. So that is the data right there. But if you didn't write all those emails, how would you have known that they would read like maybe 5 emails before they take a buying decision? So yeah, I think keep writing is a really good one. And it has been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast with us today. So how can we connect with you? Where can we find you? Where can we get to know more about you?
Oh, I love it. So my podcast is called The Friendly Podcast Guide. You can find it on any podcast app or online podcast player. My personal favorite, if you're looking for it, a recommendation, most people aren't, but if you are, is Pocket Casts. I love it so much. That's where I listen to all of my podcasts. I'm also on Threads. I hang out on Threads. I'm pretty sure that's where we found each other, was Threads.
Yeah.
I love Threads. And Pinterest. Those are my favorite places to be. I love Pinterest as my main marketing tool, as we've talked about forever, but I will say it's hard with Pinterest. It's hard to like have a back and forth, which is why I love Threads. It's kind of like Threads is where I get my back and forth with my people. And then Pinterest is where people find me and find my podcast and like, yeah. So those are my places that I am currently.
And what I'm going to do for our listeners is I'm going to take all the links and put in the show notes. So from one click, you can easily connect with Andy, find her from Pinterest. And of course, the Is Pinterest Right for Your Podcast checklist is going to be in the show notes as well. So you go ahead and take that test and find out if maybe there is a marketing avenue channel that you're just missing out on right now. Thank you so much for coming. And this was such an exciting conversation. I mean, I laughed a lot. I love when I do episodes and I laugh a lot.
I'm so glad. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm just going to stop the recording and then next steps. Hi, Dr. Safaya here. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Email Marketing Experiments. I'm going to ask a favor. please leave a rating and a comment on this podcast. It goes a long way to help increase visibility for our podcast so that we can reach even more people. Till next time, this is Still Email Marketing Experiment. Think it, test it, and share it.